Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day today. It's Friday, sunny in Florida. It's actually starting to cool down. We're in the 70s now, the low 70s at night, which is pretty fantastic. So, everything's going good down here. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. It's about 70 degrees here. They started hitting us with the chemtrails again today, and so it's hazing up and getting real hot here already. So sad, it really is. It's sad. In fact, it was my neighbors next door. They're so kind to let me borrow their John Deere tractors. I'm up here bush hogging all day. I gave them that video from Dane Whittington on chemtrails. I mean, he actually has a DVD that he put out that's actually excellent. And I gave him a copy of that because they were complaining about how hot it was. And they watched it this morning. They came over. They said, you know, is this all real? And I said, yeah, it's all real. And they go, this is nuts. And they go, how can you deal with this? I mean, this is very depressing. It's almost like, what in the world can we do as human beings when they're basically, you know, poisoning us with aluminum? I mean, she said, this is awful. And I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, if I did not have a deep-seated relationship with Christ, with Yeshua, I would just I wouldn't know what to do with myself. It'd be because you're being poisoned and you can't stop it. And you realize that God is still God, and that God's going to put an end to this thing sooner or later, and you can basically put your hope and your trust in Him. But without that, Austin, no way. Oh, by the way, this is interesting. I had a person I met up here that was Jewish, and he was talking to me about how he was an atheist and didn't believe in God and had nothing, didn't want to have anything to do with God, and believed that we were put here by aliens, and his big movie that he liked to watch was Prometheus, and it was interesting. And guess what? I met his wife yesterday in the gym. This is interesting. I talked about her yesterday on the show. And what was funny is I told her, I said, well, did you know your husband was an atheist? And she goes, well, no, he's not an atheist. I said, oh, yeah, he's a hardcore atheist. And last night he sent me a text, Austin, and basically said, why did you tell my wife was an atheist? I have a deep belief in God. I thought, I'm sure you do after your wife got a hold of you. And, you know, what's so funny about all this is that, you know, if you're going to say stuff like that, you need to own it, you know, and you need to understand that you're saying it to people who have deep relationships with God, deep relationships with Christ, and if you're going to say it, then you better mean it. That's what I told him. I said, dude, if you were just joking around and you didn't mean this, that's a pretty strong statement to make that you don't believe in God whatsoever. And so the thing I've noticed about this is, and I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say, and it's kind of ugly right now because it's happened to me multiple times, and I don't really know how to say this without getting kind of on a hot seat with you guys today, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I've had this happen to me multiple times with people that I've met who are Jewish when they find out you're Christian. And I don't know what to say about it, but what they have a tendency to do, they like to yank your chain. And I don't know how to put it any other way than that. They like to yank your chain, and they'll say things to you just to try to instigate something, just to try to cause a problem, and just try to, you know, cause conflict. They'll say stuff like, one time I was at a dinner off a cruise ship, and we were in Beijing, China, and the ship had paid for us to have dinner at the hotel. It was a big convention center. And I remember I was talking to there were three psychiatrists. They were Jewish psychiatrists from New York City. And the guys, I don't make stuff up, okay? And we were sitting here having dinner, and they had a bunch of stuff on the menu that all had pork in it. And I said to them, I asked the waitress, I said, I don't eat pork. And they looked at me, they said, well, why don't you eat pork? And I said, because I eat kosher. And they said, what do you mean you eat kosher? And they said, you're not Jewish. And I said, well, no, I'm not Jewish. And I said, but I follow the Old Testament, the Levitical laws as far as the clean and unclean foods, and I don't eat pork. And they said, well, pork's not included on that list. And they said this to me, Austin. And I said to them, and I looked at them kind of funny, and I said, well, I don't really know what you're talking about, because the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy says that, you know, that this pig is unclean. No, that has nothing to do with reality. It's how the pig is slaughtered, whether or not it's clean or not, and so we eat pork all the time. And they knew they were lying to me. This is the thing that I looked at them. I just started laughing at them. And I said, well, guys, I tell you what, you want to eat pork, you knock yourself out. I'm not going to eat pork. You guys go ahead and do it. And I said, I'm going to do a better job in following a kosher diet than you guys are if you guys want to eat this filth. But this is a lot of them. They get these secular Jews, and I'm picking on them right now because I've had this happen multiple times. I'm not going to give you all the other examples, when they get it, when they find out you're a Christian or you're doing something that they can mess with you on, they like to see what you're going to be saying back to them. They want to test your mettle, so to speak. They want to see if you really know what you're talking about or if you're just out there just being a sheeple. So after I kind of gave them, I explained to these boys at the table in Shanghai or Beijing or where I was in Beijing about what was going on and how I felt about the Bible and the Torah, and it wasn't my problem if they didn't want to believe their own book, and they left me alone. But this is an interesting thing, and I ran into it again yesterday with this guy texting me back and saying that he never said what he told me. I said, did you know what you said? As I told your wife exactly what you said. In fact, I didn't even go into more, I could have gone into a lot more detail. He actually believes that all religion was man-made and none of it's even real, and that we are put here by aliens, and all religion is a control device to control the masses. But I didn't tell his wife that, because remember, in the Jewish households, the women are the ones that really run the households in most cases. Now, guys, whether you believe that or not, that's just the way it is in most cases. I'm not saying there's not an exception to that, but they run the household. The guy handles the business and what they're doing with their money as far as making the money, et cetera. But when it comes to the household, the woman does that and does a lot of the ceremonial stuff, too, out of the Babylonian Talmud. Now, I think it's funny because the Bible and Jesus said that they have nullified the word of God because of their traditions, because they were still transferring these things they were doing through the generations until the Talmud was written in the 6th century. So you really need to take a really close look at what Jews believe, what Muslims believe, what Hindus believe, what Buddhists believe, and you need to be able to defend your faith. You need to be able to say why I'm a Christian, why you believe what you believe, and understand that there are all these different religions around the world, and not all of them are necessarily friendly to Christianity. So that's why when I always hear, this is funny too, I always hear Judeo-Christian, and my response is, that's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as a Judeo-Christian. You're either a Jew or you're a Christian, or you can be a born-again Jew. You can be that. You can be a Messianic Jew. But the Judaism faith does not believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So when you try to mix those two together, it really simply doesn't work as far as I'm concerned. And the same thing with the Muslim faith. But the Muslims do believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet only second to Muhammad. They do believe that. And the Hindus, they got all kinds of weird things and gods they got running around. And Buddha's all about the, you know, little Buddha buddy. And so it's all these different things that you've got to look at and understand what the world religions are and understand what an incredible opportunity that we as Christians have been given, that we've been given the truth about all of this stuff, guys. We know the truth of who God is, who Yeshua is, who the creator of the universe is, why he's here, why we're here, and what we're supposed to do while we're here. I mean, we've got the answers that nobody else has us, and that's why it's so important that we continue to go out and try to convert people. In fact, I prayed this morning. I asked God, I said, Lord, I said, you're omnipresent. You know who can be converted and who can't be converted because you're the beginning and the end. You know the end from the beginning. You know it all. And I said, can you please do me a favor when I'm actually working with people trying to get them converted to become Christians? If it's going to be one of those things where they're absolutely never going to do this, don't let me spend a lot of time in trying to help these guys to learn the truth about who Jesus Christ is, because quite frankly, you know, if it's going to be a time waster, I'd rather work with people who want to know the truth, Austin. How do you feel about that?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's the same thing whether or not I talked about this on the show yesterday. Christianity is the most important aspect of it, but it's with everything. When you start spending significant amounts of time with people in any aspect, whether it's health, whether it's diet, whether it's exercise, and they don't want to do it and they don't really have any desire to do it, they're simply doing it to appease you or keep you from nagging them, it's a waste of everybody's time and there's no reason to do so. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely that. I mean, that's a fantastic prayer, man, because there's nothing more frustrating than spending hours on end trying to work with somebody or trying to lead them to salvation, only to find out that they were simply just playing you the whole time as a joke, and they thought it was really funny to get you to do all this, and they have absolutely zero intentions on doing that. But you never know. That's the aspect of it. You may end up having a point in time where you bring it up enough, you don't know, man.
Well, this Jewish guy that I met up here, that's what he was doing. He was yanking my chain. And he was just saying all kinds of stupid stuff, just trying to be offensive. And every time he came back on, I would just say something back to him, letting him know how stupid he was being. But it wasn't funny yesterday when I told his wife that he was an atheist. Suddenly, everything he had told me was no longer cutesy. All of a sudden, it wasn't funny anymore. Suddenly, he was owning it, he was wearing it, and he was living it, and he was dealing with it when he got home. So I got a kick out of that, quite frankly. Like I said again, if he wasn't serious about what he was saying to me, if he was just yanking my chain, then at that point, he should have realized there's going to be blowback from this if my wife ever found out what I'm saying. And I can say this to you, and I can say this honestly. There's nothing I would tell any of you if I met you in person, including this gentleman that I met up here, this Jewish fellow, that there's nothing I could tell any of you guys that you could not go back and tell my wife and I would be not okay with it. And see, that's how we need to live, Austin. If, you know, we don't need to be having a bunch of weird stuff going on in our life, saying things and doing things we shouldn't ought to do, and then being afraid if someone like our wife finds out about it. What kind of nonsense is that, son? It's completely ridiculous. Okay, never mind. What's your first story, bud?
Well, the first one now, because I've been trying to monitor this pretty closely, and I figured this was going to happen. We've gotten so many liberals that have poured into Florida now. The Democrats, including State Senator Linda Stewart and a bunch of other Democrats now, have now introduced Florida legislation because they said the federal government is refusing to do anything. They have introduced several measures now this week aimed at totally ramping up gun control in our great state of Florida. The bill, which is SB 196 and SB 456, would prohibit the sale or transfer of any assault weapon, bump stock, or large capacity magazine. It would also go in and it would ban the possession of any bump fire stock as well. And with the main measure, it would essentially ban any semi-automatic firearm with a fixed or detachable magazine capable of holding 10 or more rounds, as well as their ammunition feeding devices. This is exactly what California has done now and literally outlawed these weapons. You're not even allowed to possess higher magazines than 10 rounds. They've made it a felony now, if you guys don't know that. This is what they're trying to do in Florida. I don't think they'll get it passed because Florida is such a very, very aggressive southern state. But again, this is actually one of the first times in Florida I've ever seen legislation that's this aggressive against the Second Amendment, even trying to get pushed, which shows me that there is a full-blown concerted effort on our rights to own firearms now that's about to go nationwide. Since they're saying that the federal government's not going to do anything about it, they're going to try and do something about it. They've already said now as well, let me see here, there's been multiple states. It looks like Oregon, Washington also have already adopted a lot of these, California, Connecticut. So this is not something that hasn't happened in these other states. This has happened already, and this is what they're trying to do here, which, I mean, they will literally make it a felony to purchase, possess, or have in your possession a bump fire stock or any magazine over 10 rounds. And this is a serious issue, guys. So I'm going to be contacting some people today. Hope any of our Florida listeners do the same. This stuff can't go anywhere. It needs to go kaput right now and be buried. We can't even allow this stuff to have any type of movement in Florida whatsoever, because once this stuff gets traction, all the liberals that are moving over here from California, because they've ruined California now with their 13-14% income sales tax, with their insanely high property taxes, with their insane legislative laws on small businesses, people are sick of it, so they're moving to Florida now and trying to make Florida follow the same liberal laws, the same thing they've been doing out in Colorado now, and it's just obnoxious to me. I wish these people would go to an island and leave everybody else alone with their idiotic ideology. So we got to stand strong with these guys. We can't allow them to start banning just capacity magazines and furniture that goes on firearms and any firearm. At that point, we should have no firearm laws added into Florida. If anything, we should have multiple ones stricken from the books, Dad. So that's the first thing I want to start off with today.
Wow, Austin. That's, you know, I don't think it'll pass in Florida, but there's a lot of these, there's a lot of states that's kind of on the edge, you know, passing some of these laws we saw with California. And remember, these guys do it at the grassroots. They come in and they pay people to basically protest, and they pay for these false flags and these horrible shootings and everything else. And you got to remember, when you bring all these crisis actors in, you bring in all these big teams of people, this is costing millions of dollars to do something like they did in Las Vegas. Somebody had to pay for it. It was all about, because remember, Nevada was one of the most free, gun-loving, gun-toting states in the United States. It really was. And so it was one of those things they had to make an example out of Nevada, so it's kind of crazy. Now, here's an article that came up, and we reported on this a couple of years ago, but apparently it's getting traction again, and I wanted to say something about it. Obama and Hillary approved giving 20% of the U.S. uranium to Russia. The Clinton Foundation received $145 million from the deal. Before the Obama administration approved the deal in 2010, giving Moscow control over 20% of American uranium, the FBI had gathered evidence that the nuclear industry was engaged in bribery and kickbacks with an American trucking firm that transported the uranium. Hillary Clinton's State Department signed off on the sale of the uranium to Russia. The Clinton Foundation received $145 million in donations from people connected to the deal, as reported by the New York Times. Now, the reason I want to bring this up again is that, you know, they keep talking about how our relations with Russia has been so awful. Well, it really wasn't awful if it was 7 years ago we were giving them a bunch of uranium. But guys, remember this. Uranium is not something that really needs to be used for weapon manufacturing anymore. Our weapon systems are way past uranium and nuclear bombs. We're talking, you know, almost 100-year-old technology here. We're way, way, way beyond that now. So I believe that's something that they did because they knew they didn't have to really use that uranium. And secondly, you know, we were on good terms with Russia, which somehow I still believe with us doing joint space missions, et cetera, there's a lot of this stuff that they're telling us about our relations with, you know, with Russia that's still obfuscation too. So guys, I don't know. This whole thing's weird. All we know, one thing is I am so glad that witch of Benghazi did not get into the White House. With, in fact, just having to look at her would have nauseated me for 8 years, Austin. I can't stand even doing reports on her right now, and I wish that somebody would stop putting her all over the internet because you keep seeing her no matter where you go, bud. So it's kind of yucky. And by the way, when the Clintons accepted the millions from the Russian nuclear industry, referring for 20% of the American uranium, they engaged in racketeering. Attorney Greg Jarrett says that the special counsel Robert Mueller and Deputy Attorney General Rob Rosenstein, I'm probably a dual citizen, must be fired or resigned from the Trump-Russia collusion case because they are complicit in approving the Uranium One deal that gave the uranium to Russia. WikiLeaks State Department top secret cables from 2009 prove that Hillary knew the Russians were trying to corner the world uranium market, yet she endorsed the Uranium One deal. FBI records show just prior to the approval, tens of millions of dollars came into the Clinton Foundation for the Russian nuclear industry. Racketeering is defined as a business, as using a business as a criminal enterprise by definition. Therefore, the Clintons are guilty of racketeering and also compromising America's security. So, guys, this is just interesting to me how these guys of the deep state, like, you know, Rosenstein, and you're all involved in all of this stuff. I mean, he's the attorney general, for heaven's sakes, and he was involved in this stuff with Clinton. That's why I'm saying Trump has put too many of these deep state rats back in the high positions, Austin, for me to feel completely comfortable what he's done and the choices that he's made. Buddy, what do you think?
Oh, I agree, and that's why I brought up yesterday. Supposedly, you know, WikiLeaks is supposed to release a bunch of stuff this weekend if nothing happens. We'll see if that makes any difference or anybody actually gets indicted for it. Who knows with these guys? The problem is, we've said before, Hillary and a lot of those big boys at the top, they all have dead man switches. They know if they get indicted, if this actually goes full-blown criminal charges against them, they're going to start pulling the stops on everything. They're going down, everybody's going down, and I'm sure they've been extremely vocal about this with everybody they've been involved in. So whether or not something actually goes through with it, we'll find out, but we'll definitely keep everybody informed, especially by Monday. We'll see what's going on.
I want to add one more thing to it. Rob Rosenstein, yeah. Remember, he was the U.S. attorney who investigated the Russian uranium bribery scandal. Now, he is the deputy FBI director in the Trump administration. And during that investigation, the FBI uncovered Russian bribery of the Clintons, but the Department of Justice and the FBI did nothing about it. Rosenstein was also on the committee, listen to this, that approved the sale of the 20% of the uranium. Current Attorney General Jeff Sessions, when asked whether Rosenstein will be allowed to investigate himself regarding newly disclosed information on his role protecting the Clintons, said, "It will be his decision. He's going to allow this guy to investigate himself." Many people, and among them, believe that Sessions is severely compromised. Here's what I believe. I believe they got Jeff Sessions doing something he shouldn't ought to be doing. I'm talking something serious that he's unbelievably embarrassed about, or that's incredibly illegal, and they have this stuff and they're holding it over him, and he needs to be replaced. And that's what bothers me more than anything else, that Donald Trump has not asked for this man's resignation. So this whole thing's a giant cesspool in Washington, and quite frankly, Trump's done a little bit to improve some of the cesspool stuff, but overall, it's just as nasty as it was when Trump got there, you know, almost a year ago now when he won the election. Austin, what do you think?
Obfuscation. Be very aware, guys, of what's going on around you over the next coming weeks, because there's a very good possibility they're going to try to use another Vegas-type false flag to get more media exposure on something that's really not even accurate, true, or may have even happened the way they said it did. Every time we see this starting to happen, every single time something big starts going down, they try to put something else in the media. That's why I told you guys on Wednesday when I watched that ridiculous episode, that clip, the 8-minute and 32-second clip of Ellen DeGeneres with the security guard from the Vegas Towers. It didn't even look like him. It looked like he'd put on 20 pounds in the last 4 or 5 days since they saw him that last Thursday. That whole thing was staged. Yeah, I don't even think it was him. I don't think it was him at all. He didn't even sound like he knew what was going on. First off, if you were in a position where you're in a hallway and somebody started unloading 200 plus rounds, which a contractor or anybody that was involved in that, including the shooter, who obviously, if it really was Paddock, which I don't believe it was, but even if it was, he never would have given away his position that heavily releasing 200 rounds. If he heard somebody walking down the hall, he would have used one of the cameras that he supposedly set up, or you'd have looked down the peephole, he'd have opened the door, he would have blasted 2 or 3 rounds downrange right in the individual, dropped them, drugged them into the stairwell, and gone back to what he was doing, and most people in the hall probably wouldn't even have thought anything of it. They would have thought it was a door slamming a couple times or a jackhammer, and that would have been it. Shooting 200 rounds in a hallway would be the stupidest thing you could possibly do before you were about to shoot 500 people. Didn't make sense. Didn't happen, in my opinion. And then this guy's interviewing, and he sounds like he has no idea what he's talking about. He's sitting there sounding like he's trying to remember the whole situation. Well, I was doing this, and the door closed, and I had to check this out. Ellen literally was walking him through the situation.
That's right.
Like she knew the situation better than him. And I'm sitting there watching, because I watched it again yesterday, because I was like, the whole thing, I knew it was staged. I knew it was fake, but I was trying to look. Well, maybe there's a couple parts of it that they did right. No, the whole thing was completely and totally staged. And then the end of it, she goes, well, you know, Jesus has been through a lot, so he doesn't want to do any more interviews with anybody. He wants to just get his story out and be done with it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Now we all really believe it. His first interview is a taped one with Ellen DeGeneres, because, you know, she's not a Hollywood insider or anything. But the reason why I went off on the whole tangent is because all this stuff is coming out with Hillary now. Now former Homeland Security Chief Elaine Duke just came out now and blatantly reminded everybody of Al-Qaeda's work in 9/11 and their deadly terror attack, and did all this now to tell reporters that the remnants of the groups like 9/11, the Al-Qaeda, have partnered with ISIS now to plot another devastating terror attack on the scale of 9/11. She quotes, the terrorist organizations like ISIS and Al-Qaeda or others want to have another big explosion like they did on 9/11. They're going to try and take down an aircraft. The intelligence is clear on that. The threat is very severe. During her meeting with Judd, Duke parroted the UK conservatives' push to remove terroristic content from the internet. Again, here we go again. We're deciding that tech firms have been cooperative and that they're pushing very hard, and the cooperation with the tech companies and social media firms has been very, very strong and is a positive sign. This is what they're doing now, guys. They're getting everybody prepped again, just like they did with 9/11 doing the Patriot Act. They want to make sure they take every bit of freedom we have left away. Remember, it's all for our own good and for our own safety. So be very aware where you travel, where you go right now, because there's a strong possibility if this stuff comes out this weekend with WikiLeaks, they're going to do another false flag. They're going to either do something, you know, local here as far as in the States. They're going to do something with North Korea. They're going to do something to catch everybody off guard again, to watch the news complacently and stare at the next terror attack while everybody cries, oh my gosh, I can't believe the terrorists did this again, and it's going to completely sweep the entire incident with Hillary, Obama, Sessions, all these guys who are involved in this under the rug again, just like they've done numerous times. So be very aware of that, guys, and stay frosty wherever you go. Make sure you always have your gear with you. Make sure you always got a pistol with you. Make sure you always have some backup food, some protein bars, some water filtration all the time in your vehicle, because if you have to move on a moment's notice, you do not want to be caught off guard, guys. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody. I'm saying that to make sure everybody's aware of what's going on. Whenever you start seeing stuff like this, with Hillary and everybody else, and it starts coming to the surface that these guys have been involved in this stuff and there's evidence that's going to be done, and then you start seeing, you know, the chief, former chief of DHS start coming out saying Al-Qaeda's partnered with ISIS now and they're going to do another 9/11 style attack with an airplane. She's telling us what they're planning on doing right now. They're getting everybody ready so then they can say, well, we warned you, we tried to tell you it was going to happen, but it's happened now, so we just need to put more reasons on the internet to shut it down. We need to make sure we ban firearms. We need to make sure we do more TSA security screening. I mean, it was insane when I went to Orlando the other day. You know, I always opt out of the x-ray scanners. I will not do them, refuse to do them. My wife will not do them. She's pregnant on top of that. So I walk up to the guy. This, I didn't tell you guys this on the show yet. I walk up, a TSA guy, and I say, hey, man, I'm opting out of the x-ray. You guys need to pat me down. Go ahead. We'll get stripped down. You can grope me all you want. We'll get this party started. He kind of laughed, and he's like, all right, man. He's like, I'll tell him. So I just joke around about him now. I don't even care. I hardly ever fly, so when I do fly and I opt out for it, I make a joke about it because the thing is, I don't want to raise my cortisol. If I get in the airport, I'm already, you know, trying to be on time with everything. If I get in there and I get all flustered, which, I mean, I get very aggressive in situations that don't necessarily call for it all the time. So I've already found I've had issues with TSA before of them trying to throw me out and arrest me, and so I don't like to take it to that level. I don't like to raise my blood pressure and get my heart rate up, so I just joke around with them. And usually the TSA, when I do that, they're kind of embarrassed because they're like, golly, this guy's joking around. He's obviously not doing anything stupid or else he wouldn't be this, you know, cordial about it. Let's just get this over with. So they pushed me through. They pushed Lana through, and the one guy walks over to me and Lana, and he goes, man, he goes, I've been working for TSA for a while, and he goes, I don't blame you guys for not going through the x-ray scanners. He said, there's something really weird about those, and he goes, I would opt out, too, if I had to go through them, guys. I just wanted to tell you that. Blatantly told me and Lana that, and then walked off. Did
wow.
A real low-key, real quiet voice, then walked off and did back what he's doing. Blatantly said, I would not go through these if I were you, either. There's something weird about them. So that right there tells you that these guys that work in them, they're not telling you everything that they know. They know there's weird stuff about this, and there's no possible way to have going through x-ray scanners, especially if you fly regularly, can have any type of positive health aspects on your body whatsoever. Plus, here's the next thing I thought of the other day, Dad. You know this stuff as far as Homeland Security, all these, I mean, TSA is Homeland Security. They're taking full body images of you, full body images, which means they can collect BMI, they can collect waist circumference, they can get the shoulder, because remember, they put your arms up, everything. They know your height, weight, facial features, beard, hair, everything.
Yeah.
Bet money, every time they run these through the TSA scanner, they pull an x-ray scanner of you, they look to see if your weight's gone up or it's gone down, your facial as far as what you have on your face, your body as far as if your facial hair is growing out, any type of changes in your body, and they're doing collective data every single time you go through this thing so they can go send it over to the giant database over in Utah and continue to build their massive police state grid and file on every single person so they know not just where you're going on Google, not just what you're doing by monitoring your phone, not just where you're going with the OnStar, not just what you're doing by your internet searches, but actually watching your body change, whether you're getting bigger, whether you're getting smaller, whether you're getting taller, whether you're growing more hair, everything when they do those x-ray scanners, because you know they save every single file that they put in there and they send it to Homeland Security for all the recognition software they have. Then they're saving it into the files, Dad. So there's something weird about those x-rays. Not only are they not healthy, it's another way, in my opinion, at least just my opinion, that they're surveilling us and keeping day-to-day data, updated data on us every single time we fly so they can use it to cross-reference different aspects of it.
And I'll go a step further. I'll say it's part of the eugenics program. And I mean that sincerely. I believe it's something to decrease longevity, increase the risk of cancer, because you can't get that much x-ray.
Yep.
I mean, that's why the pilots and the stewardesses refused to go through them. The fact they were going to try to make the pilots go through them, they also they were going to strike. They're not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to happen. And so, you know, they were able to get opted out of them, which to me is something that you could sue over if you wanted to, because they're giving a discriminatory privilege to the airline employees because they don't want to go through them. Well, guess what? I don't want to go through them either. Okay? And I don't want to get groped down either. But, you know, we don't have a choice. They can't discriminate like that against a certain set group of people. But the airline pilots just said, we're going to just not fly. And so they were going to cripple the whole industry, so they're not going to do that. But I think it's part of the eugenics program. Let's go back to this thing real quick about the Ellen DeGeneres show. Well, we got to ask ourselves a few questions. Campos chose to go on the Ellen DeGeneres show after canceling his appearance on Fox News and other dedicated news channels. Why? Also, he disappeared for days. Where did he go? Why do we know this? The security guard, The security guard who represented himself on Ellen with a walking cane was holding it incorrectly. Did no one teach him how to use a walking cane? Plus, think about this. I don't think it was the same guy. He sure had gained a lot of weight, like Austin said. Ellen never asked him about which leg was shot or his recovery time. She seemed to not to be too interested in his injuries. But she quickly took over the interview, and some would say she led Campos, even telling the story better than he did, as if she knew more than he did. She even broke out blueprints of the 32nd floor of the hotel, okay, with a pointer and guided Campos through his narration. We now know there was another person in the hallway that night, a woman whom Campos said he told to go back into her room. Well, who is the woman? What did she see? What did she hear? Can we talk to her? Does anyone else find it odd that Ellen spoke directly to Campos and told the world that he would not be granting another interview?
Yep.
I mean, this is absolutely nuts that this actually is going on. I mean, there's just some other questions. You know, how long did the police speak with you? Did you ever see anybody else going out of the room or out of the hallway? How long did it take the police to arrive? In your opinion, as a security guard, what work have been done to penetrate the room sooner? Do you think it's a miracle that you were shot at 200 times and only hit once? I mean, why didn't she ask him questions like that? But she didn't. Why? Because this whole thing is staged. Remember, this woman's a lesbian. We know that. She's a globalist. She's a lesbian. She's a pervert. She's a stinking pervert. Now, I don't care how nice she is, how many people like her. They say when you get to meet her in person, she's a real nightmare off the camera. Quite frankly, guys, is she's a pervert. She's a lesbian. She's a homosexual, whatever you want to call her. She's part of the New World Order. She's part of the New World Order agenda. She's their darling, so to speak, and they chose her to speak to this guy. How ridiculous is that? Why didn't we bring somebody off of Fox News to talk to him, you know, like O'Reilly, you know, like we could brought O'Reilly back, or we could have put some of the other anchors from Fox News on there. But oh no, they picked the most extreme liberal, New Worlder, New Ager, the whole bit, transgender, whatever you want to call it, approval person to put him through. So, like you said, Austin, complete and total joke. Also, another interesting article: the crusading journalist who exposed the Panama Papers. This was about a bunch of offshore accounts. Was blown up by a car bomb. It just took her a while to get blown up. Daphne Cazalia, an investigative journalist who was an outspoken against the government corruption, was murdered by a car bomb. Eliza was characterized as a one-woman WikiLeaks, and she led the Panama Papers investigating offshore tax evasion in Malta. Her son blamed the government, which he characterized as organized crime, the police who refused to protect her, and Maltese Prime Minister Joseph Muscat, who says that he says demonized and harassed her. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, by the way, is offering a £20,000 reward that leads to the conviction of her murderer. I mean, guys, this is crazy to me. These guys blow these whistles. If they don't have a dead man switch, Austin, somebody's going to take them back out. Look what happened with Barry Seals. What's your next story, bud?
That's exactly what it is. Well, finally, somebody has actually come forward that's had some credibility and called out this ridiculous transgender nonsense that they're doing to our children in the schools now. The actual president of the American College of Pediatricians now, Dr. Mitchell Cretella, has expressed significant concern about the dangerous practice of prescribing hormone blockers to children who think they're transgender, which is apparently now becoming a very common thing. I didn't realize this till I was reading about this, some of this today, that this is very common now. They go into these doctors, these hormone doctors, and these 9, 10, 11-year-old kids are saying, I think I'm a girl, and they're actually putting them on puberty-blocking hormone pharmaceuticals. And Dr. Mitchell Cretella told a forum about transgenderism sponsored by the Heritage Foundation that facilitating gender confusion in children by assisting them in transitioning to the opposite sex amounts strictly to child abuse. He said chemical castration is what you're doing when you put any biologically normal child on puberty blockers. Indoctrinating preschool kids with the lie that you can be trapped in the wrong body disrupts their normal reality testing and cognitive development. These things are abusive. Said you would like to see sex reassignment operations and cross-sex hormones on children stopped immediately, and also believes that schools should stop stop promoting gender ideology as well. Not surprisingly, the push to disregard biology and let children choose their sex is largely driven, apparently now, by, of course, the pharmaceutical companies, who stand to gain millions again, quite a lot, through the sterilization, castration drugs, and a lifetime of medical treatment these individuals will need. Nobody has addressed that with Big Pharma, is the fact that once these kids start on these, essentially these castration drugs or these puberty-blocking drugs, they have to stay on this stuff the rest of their life. When you start taking stuff that completely shuts down your testes from growing and going into puberty and making testosterone when you're 11, 12, 13 years old, a lot of times your hormones are so disrupted the rest of your life, you are on nothing but medication for pretty much significant part of your life. The same thing with the females as well. They start doing testosterone replacement therapy and all types of weird stuff. So the only people that are benefiting from this are the pharmaceuticals. And that money, if you start doing some research and digging down into it, a lot of the lobbying and a lot of the people that they're trying to promote this within the schools are, if not getting kickbacks, at least getting promos to try and push this unbelievably sadistic, perverted ideology onto our children in the schools, Dad. So I'm really glad the president of the American College of Pediatrics finally called this garbage out now and blatantly called it for what it is, and that's child abuse, man.
No, it is. It's also eugenics again. The more people they can get confused about gender identity, the less amount of children they're going to have. I mean, no offense, but I mean, look at yesterday. The guy was, you know, transgender, starts molesting this 10-year-old little girl in the bathroom. We did the whole story yesterday. I mean, these guys are a bunch of weirdos in most cases. I mean, they have a 40% suicide rate, so they're going to be on all kinds of drugs the rest of their life, all because somebody told them they could be a little girl when they were a little boy, when they're 8 years old, and they don't know the difference. I mean, are you kidding me? This whole thing's nonsense, guys. And I tell you what, I agree with your guy 100%. It's complete and total child abuse to do this to a kid. By the way, major earthquake drills were held yesterday, right before the release of the movie Geostorm, which is out tonight. This is crazy. On Thursday, October the 19th, yesterday, the organization known as Shakeout hosted their annual Great Shakeout major earthquake drills for 2017. Over 52.8 million participants worldwide were scheduled to take part, ranging from school districts to business to even local, federal, and provincial governments. Shakeout sponsors, partners, and organizers include the Department of Homeland Security. Here we go, boys and girls. Federal Emergency Management, FEMA, U.S. Department of Education, the National Science Foundation, and the American Red Cross, and the U.S. Geological Survey, and more. But what's interesting to note about this year's annual drill is that it preceded the release of the movie Geostorm, which is going to be out tonight. Geostorm is a disaster film having to do with climatic weather events like chemtrails and satellites to control hurricanes and apocalyptic storms, which we have that technology, by the way. Remember, they have to tell you what they're going to do in advance as part of their lesser magic or their white magic. While the plot follows a satellite designer who tries to save the world from a storm of epic proportions caused by the malfunctioning climate-controlling satellite, and speaking of climate control, we've all been seeing from recent hurricanes in massive proportions such as Harvey, Irma, and Maria, and now Ophelia, record-breaking wildfires all over the country, this whole thing is all over us now, guys, and we need to realize that these guys are playing for blood, and they're about to start closing their nets. So, guys, exactly what Austin just said. Stay frosty, stay prepped. I mean, you've got to have stored food. You've got to have vitamins stored. You got to have all of this stuff ready to go in the event of a national emergency, which you can't get the supplies anymore, Austin.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we just saw that down here in Florida with the hurricane, which wasn't even that, you know, traumatic of a hurricane to Florida. But, I mean, it still, it was surprised me so much how many people were so ill-prepared. I talked to a friend of mine that does detailing on vehicles today, and they were out in Polk City, which Polk City was actually hurt, well, probably the hardest in Polk County here, because they had an entire strip of giant power poles, the main ones, get dropped by a tornado. They didn't have power for like 2.5 weeks out there. And they said that they, when they went into town like a weekend, they were trying to see if there was any gas because their generators were running out of fuel. And they said, you know, the main gas station in Polk City had only got like one shipment of gas in the first couple days. And so everybody was literally getting in fist fights over it. And then when anybody would show up that was in like a work van or a work truck with any type of placards on it, like they were actually working or going to work, there were literally people in the parking lot that would start kicking their vehicle and trying to get in a fist fight with them, running them out of the parking lot because they basically said, you can't get any gas. We need gas for our generators. You don't need gas for your work. And, you know, I understand kind of that aspect of it when you're trying to run power and feed your family. But on the other hand, too, this was only like after power was out for like 4 or 5 days. This wasn't 2, 3, 4, 5 months of having no power. So it showed me, you know, I noticed too as well, just my personal experience, the Friday before the hurricane, you know, the hurricane that Sunday night into September 11th, which was that Monday, which was pretty odd. But that Friday, when I left the office a little bit early to go grab some more parts from Lowe's because I had to bolt down my carport a little bit more. And I remember driving over there. Not only were the roads everywhere just absolutely packed, people were literally driving like maniacs. And when I mean maniacs, I mean these are some of the worst drivers I've ever seen. And I've driven everywhere. I've driven L.A. I've driven D.C. I've driven in Europe. I've driven everywhere. These are some of the worst drivers I've ever seen. I mean, right up there with like Italy as far as how they're just cutting you off, brake checking people, slamming on their brakes, literally almost hitting your vehicle when they pass you, driving like everybody's completely like nuts, like they're about to have a conniption fit. And I'm just driving. I'm like, guys, listen, nobody's getting anywhere in a hurry. Traffic's too heavy right now. Why is everybody driving like this? And everywhere I went, I saw the same attitude. And this was just people prepping for, you know, a Category 3 hurricane that we got hit with. It ended up being like a Category 2 when it hit us. 2 or 3 days in advance. So understand, guys, if we have a massive nationwide catastrophe or even a regional catastrophe, that we're going to be sitting here fending for ourselves for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks on end, you better darn well make sure you know what you have ready, and you better know how to use it, and you better make sure you have enough preps that you're not going to have to go beg people for food or try to go to the gas station getting fights. You know, once the vehicles are full and you have enough backup fuel for generators, the fuel starts going bad on generators, you know, you need to start conserving it. Run the generator in the afternoon in the hottest time to try and keep the refrigerators on, and then turn them off in the afternoon or the evening at nighttime, maybe run them back on for a couple hours. A lot of these generators, the newer ones, they're gas sippers. You can run them for a couple hours, and they don't pull much fuel, and you can run a couple different cords off of them, and not, you don't need to run them 24-7. You don't need to have all the lights in your house on and your TV running and your Xbox running and your microwave running. You need to be doing the best you can to conserve all that. And Dad laughs, but he knows. He's laughing because a lot of people do that. They get these monster generators. They're huge generators. Like, I got a great deal on this giant 20,000 kilowatt generator. It powers my entire house, including my big screen TV. I can run every light in the house and my AC. And then I go over the house the next day and I'm like, dude, why is your generator running? Well, I didn't realize it took 8 gallons an hour to run that generator and I burned through all my fuel in the first day. Oh, well, that's unfortunate. My generator burns like 2 gallons every 24 hours. So, yeah, man, good luck with all that. And, I mean, it's I'm not making it like it's a joke about them, but you got to think about this stuff in real life. Just because it powers your whole house may not mean that's the generator for you. You got to think economical. You got to think useful, and you got to think long-term. If the fuel doesn't show back up in 2 or 3 days, if the power doesn't show back up, you got to have something to run and function, at least keep the freezers on and basic utilities operable without just burning through literally 20, 30, 40 gallons of fuel every single day while it's operating. So that's just my take on all that. Also, too, in other news, this is a pretty cool new study that suggests that healthy breast tissue contains much more good bacteria, they're finding, opening up the new possibilities for prevention, they're saying, for instances with probiotics. The previous studies have examined the link between gut microbe and development of breast cancer, but less attention has been paid to the microbe residing in the breast tissue, which the researchers suggest is unique and somehow becomes altered in women who have breast cancer. So they went on to test essentially 78 women out, and they found that the women that essentially did not have breast cancer with the control groups had much higher levels of healthy good bacteria called a methylobacterium, and they're saying now that good probiotics in the diet, which helps to fight off the bad bacteria and increase good bacteria in the body, does an incredibly good job at increasing this good bacteria in the breast tissue. So long story short, probiotics, again, are being found to have an incredibly healthy function on the body, not just in the gut microbe and healthy bowel movements and everything else, but actually in breast tissue as well. That's why we just reformulated our probiotic blend, and we actually just released the probiotic DF, which is our dairy-free 30 billion unit that's in blister packs. So now we have the 30 billion formula and the 100 billion formula. Both of these are off the charts for what they actually do and when we test them for how strong they are compared to a lot of other probiotics on the market. So be sure to check that out if you guys are really interested in, because the probiotics are not something you need to be playing around with. The more and more research I've done over the last couple of years, it's something that I found is really, really, really important to be on a regular basis to keep the positive bacteria overpowering any of the negative bacteria in the body, Deb.
Well, the probiotics in the milk and breast milk is so strong. That's why the breast tissue contains so many probiotics. I mean, it's so important that you understand that you don't want to have... I'm going to say this very clearly and make you really understand that if you have a history of breast cancer in your family, or if you have that genetic markers for that, make sure you continually do self-examination. But to me, the annual routine mammogram for breast cancer is like walking through an x-ray machine once a year. It's not necessary, and it massively increases the risk of breast cancer, and studies have also proven that. By the way, beating cancer naturally makes more sense than trying to use the chemotherapy and the radiation. Remember, the development of cancer indicates that our natural first line of defense, our immune system, has been messed up. And if we start putting more and more toxins in, like with chemotherapy and with radiation, it makes it even worse. Also remember, you need to keep your liver healthy. Cancer cannot develop if you've got a healthy liver. It's usually always somebody who has got a messed up liver. It's also, cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment or in a highly oxygenated environment. That's why exercise is so important, so, so important. Detoxifying and cleansing our colons and making sure our liver stays strong, making sure we don't walk around constantly constipated. Remember, breast cancer people have a much higher problem with constipation than the general population. Cancerous cells are disease cells, and we have to understand that, and anybody in our body needs to replace them. Potassium iodine, vitamin D3, K2 are all critical, along with turmeric and intravenous vitamin C, to beat and to prevent breast cancer. All of them are so, so absolutely critical. Fresh air, pure water, anything that can actually alkalinize our body is so important. Fruits and vegetables. And you got to eat a lot of raw, a lot of fruits and vegetables. We've also got a list of my stuff that I put in my protein shake every day. It's phenomenal. It's on the website now. And also remember, stress contributes to cancer and helps prevent, pretty much stop the recovery from cancer. And also, this is so important, sugar feeds cancer. We need to remember that sugar feeds cancer. It's one of the worst things you can do. Also, another thing with autism right now, they're finding there's a potential link between aborted human DNA fragments from aborted babies that are being put into vaccines in autistic children. This is crazy, guys. We reported on something about this a little while back, and now another study has come out. The co-authors scheduled a meeting to destroy documents related to this study, by the way. The remaining four co-authors all met and brought a big garbage can into the meeting room and reviewed and went through all the hard copy documents that we thought we could discard and put them in a huge garbage can. This is what's going on, how they're covering up this data. The vaccines cause autism. The science speaks for itself, and it shows that vaccines could be one of the multiple causes of autism and autism spectrum disorders. There are well over 100 peer-reviewed studies that make that link, but perhaps even more convincing is the whistleblower testimony from senior CDC scientist who has authored multiple commonly cited studies that show no link. Let me read this again. But perhaps more convincing is whistleblower testimony from senior CDC consultant who's authored multiple studies proving the link between the MMR vaccine and autism. Guys, this is so important that you understand this. And now human fetal DNA and vaccines are being brought up. Vaccines manufactured in human fetal cell lines contain unacceptably high levels of fetal DNA fragment contaminants. The human genome naturally contains regions that are susceptible to double break formation and DNA insertional mutagenesis, and the Wakefield scare created a natural experiment that may demonstrate a causal relationship between fetal cell line manufacturing vaccines and prevalence. Guys, think through this for a second. They're taking aborted fetuses, they're grinding them up, and they're putting them into the vaccines that they're putting into your children. Guys, there's nothing okay about this. God didn't intend for anything like this to happen because of what's happened with how the DNA can be completely changed. We have to realize that we can't allow our children to be exposed to these types of toxins in any concentration whatsoever, as far as I'm concerned. Austin, what do you think?
Absolutely not, man. I mean, just the fact, just the concept. I mean, if you're like, oh, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that research, just the concept of you are essentially, when you go get a vaccine shot into your child and it contains us, which you, by the way, you can go look on the ingredient list. We're not making this up. You can go find out exactly what's in it. You can look it up online, everything else. The fact that you are supporting abortions and you're essentially paying and subsidizing these abortions because these pharmaceutical and vaccine manufacturers use this aborted tissue in the vaccine production, you're supporting that entire process when you go get your children vaccinated. To me, it's almost like a sadistic, demonic aspect of it. Just me personally, because I'm diametrically opposed to abortion. Do you guys understand that? And when you start understanding the fact that when you go vaccinate your kids with these vaccines and you inject it right into their muscle tissue with a hypodermic needle, it's not a pill, it's not nasal spray, it's nothing like that. You're taking it straight into the muscle tissue through the skin, bypassing everything, right into the bloodstream. And you're putting it into them. To me, it's a very, very sadistic aspect when you start looking at the fact that you're injecting your child with DNA fragments of aborted fetuses. That's sick to me, guys. That is absolutely grotesque to me. And to me, like I said, I feel like it has some type of just satanic backing to it. That's one of the aspects why they do it, because the technology now, guys, they want to be, oh, we got autonomous vehicles. Oh, we're going to fly out to space and do this. Oh, we can do this now. We can come up with all these different pharmaceutical drugs. Oh, but there's no way to make vaccines without aborted fetal tissue. Really? Really, guys? Are we supposed to believe that they're that inept that we have this type of technology in front of us now? I mean, we have iPhones that literally can do just about anything except fly on them, which, I mean, that's next. They're probably going to turn into magic carpets and we let, you know, Tesla and all these weird guys start taking cars. I'm serious. So we're supposed to believe that we have all this technology now, but we can't make legitimate, clean, healthy vaccines that may possibly work good without aborted fetal tissue and without mercury and that aluminum? Give me a break, dude. It's a complete and total lie. That's why I will not subject my family or my children to those toxic compounds. If other people want to do it, it's their choice. All I recommend is you do some research and figure out exactly what you're putting in your child's body before you do it. Don't be the mindless sheep that just says, well, my pediatrician says I need to do it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. That's the stupidest excuse you can ever use. It'd be like saying, well, the pediatrician said it's good to jump off a 300-foot bridge, especially if I do a front flip and I land on my neck in the water. It's really healthy and adjusts my back, too. Chiropractor encourages it as well. I should go do that. No, you're probably not going to go do that. So use your brain, do some research, and don't be injecting your kids with aborted fetal tissue cell. It's not a good thing.
You know, so funny, Austin. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. You know, before you had babies, and you got a second one on the way, it'll be here in January, you know, you were adamant about vaccines, but when you see those little kids and you see how smart they are, yep, without all those vaccinations and how their developmental process isn't hindered or delayed or damaged because of the mercury and heavy metal toxicity, you begin to realize how blessed you are that you know this information and how horrible it is when you talk to friends who won't listen and you know that they're poisoning these children. And they're doing it intentionally because you've told them the truth, and it's so frustrating, and it really, really is. But by the way, China is now trying to compel Saudi Arabia to trade oil in yuan, which is the Chinese currency, ending the petrodollar as the world reserve currency. Wow. Think about this for a second, guys. This week, a leading economist predicted a major paradigm shift as Carl Weinberg, chief economist and managing director at High Frequency Economics, told CNBC that China will compel Saudis to abandon the petrodollar and instead begin trading in yuan, a move he says likely to precipitate the rest of the market following suit and abandoning the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency. Weinberg noted that China is poised to clearly dominate the global landscape in terms of oil demand since surpassing the U.S. as the biggest oil importer on the planet, adding that Saudi Arabia will pay attention to this because even as much as 1 or 2 years from now, Chinese demand will dwarf U.S. demand for oil. I believe that the yuan pricing of oil is coming as soon as the Saudis move to accept it, as the Chinese will compel them to do so, and the rest of the oil market will move along with them, Weinberg said. Guys, this is coming. Whether we want it to come or not, it's on the way, and this is these great fights that are occurring all over the planet now with the Rothschild banking cartel, and I'm trying to shake loose the petrodollar after they've extracted almost all of the wealth out of the the United States now, and they own the United States Fortune 500 corporations, almost the entire stock market. Austin, what do you think about this?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's where it's headed with all this stuff. I mean, it definitely is. And also, too, for the shows, we only got a couple minutes left. One last thing I want to touch base on. I've been getting a lot of emails the last week about high blood pressure. Understand, guys, it's definitely something you want to take care of, but don't let your doctors pressure you into going on all these meds so quickly. High blood pressure is something you definitely want to take care of. It's not good for the heart. It's not good for the arteries. It's not good for the kidneys whatsoever. But a couple key supplements are HGH Stimulate, our Super Potent E, and our Magnesium. Those three are really, really good on top of doing some light cardiovascular exercise, drinking at least half your body weight in fluid ounces of purified water, and making sure that you get your body weight under control with a healthy diet. Those right there can significantly help out with high blood pressure. Very easy fix. Every time somebody's listened to me, we can fix it perfectly. And the HGH Stimulate is one of the best formulas we have for that. Not to mention it has a plethora of other positive effects to it. So it's a really, really awesome product. I just want to touch base on that real quick before we close the show, Dax. I've been getting a lot of emails on it.
Also, if you don't have the money for the supplements, which I understand some people simply don't have that, do the water, like Austin said. Make sure it's distilled or reverse osmosis. And also get yourself a little, you can go to one of these play it again sport places and you get a little mini rebounder, a little trampoline with little 3 foot wide ones, and you can start jogging on it. That is the absolute only exercise that I've seen that is incredibly effective at lowering blood pressure and doing nothing else besides that. And now if you can't do that, you know, initially because you're basically not capable of balancing yourself, you can put chairs on both sides of it and just walk on it. Don't bounce on it. You can jog on it, but don't bounce on it. Just jog lightly. And that really, really works great. And make sure you wear good tennis shoes that are ankle supporting, and make sure you clear all of that with your medical doctor before you start that or any exercise regimen if you're having health problems. Very important exercise for folks with high blood pressure. Guys, I love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I appreciate you so much. I'm going to go see Geo Storm tonight, let you guys know what it's about on Monday, see if it's worth watching. So I want you guys to know that if we can do anything for you, we will. I love you. I appreciate you. And thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. It means so much to us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being here. And just thank you for listening. We couldn't be here and do what we do without you. God bless you. Austin, I will talk to you later, and you guys, we'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. We appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for the emails. Check out the website if you need anything, healthmasters.com, and be sure to check out the new Testo Plus formula. Really, really aggressive, strong formula with the Tongat Alley in it. It's been very popular. It's on sale for over 17% off as our intro specialist product of the week. That's on the website at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, call us. If you need anything, email us as well. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday as always.